Technology. Everybody doing good? You guys are all looking good. We're going to be in Galatians today. We're in a series called Grit, not Grits. All right? My wife keeps saying, oh, how cute. Girls raised in the South. No. It's not an acronym. All right. Well, anyway, we're in this series, and we're talking about this grit that takes place when we combine God's power with our devotion. You know, it's mostly God's power, of course, but we have this faith, this devotion to God, where we trust Him and we devote ourselves to Him, and we cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's what this grit I'm calling grit. And I really want to continue to raise this theme throughout this year. This is why our new shirts that are coming next week are going to say grit on the front. And I might even give you a bowl of grits next week just to remind you to be gritty in this faith. Well, so in week one, here's what we learned. This is one of the things that Paul says. We are made. This is chapter 1 and 2 of Galatians, but we're made right with God through Christ alone. We're made right with God through Christ alone. It's not by works, right? Then in week two, we did talk about the works. We talked about the works of the law, and we learned that that trying to earn a right standing with God, it's like running on a treadmill. You do a lot of work, but you go nowhere. And there's a lot of people who are working really hard for God, but instead of trusting Him and living by faith, they're trying to live by good works and focus on all the works instead of focusing on what we talked about last week, which was a relationship. So this life in Christ is not about doing a bunch of stuff for God. It's about entering into a relationship with the living God, so He can turn you into, He can restore the image of God in you and make you more and more like His Son. That's God's plan for you, to make you more and more. Now, will you ever reach a place of perfection this side of heaven? The answer is no. This is why we need Christ. But today I want to talk to you about living free. Does that sound good? Now, I'm not talking about living rent-free, like you're not going to get all your bills paid today, all right? But we're talking about living in the freedom of Christ, living in victory. And you know, it takes some grit, because there's all kinds of things that this world is going to throw at you and try to send you off course. You know, there's this pervasive ideology that's being pushed through our culture today about victimhood. And, you know, it's one thing to be a victim of an assault, or a victim of a crime, or a victim of maybe some just difficulty in your upbringing. You don't want to live as a victim. You want to live in freedom. If you live in a victim, you won't know how to love people, right? You won't know how to function properly. And so we don't want to live that way. We don't want to live in bondage. And you don't need to be behind bars to be in prison. Do you know that? You can build your own prison. You can build an emotional prison. You can build a physical prison for yourself. You can isolate yourself and build your own prison. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of ways that you can get bound. But listen, if it's the lie that binds you, it's the truth that sets you free. And so we need to be bathed in the truth of God's word so we can come to understand who God made us to be. Amen? And we can live in that freedom. I grew up in the heavy metal 1980s era. Anybody else hanging with me there? Okay. So I grew up being raised, really, by my lost friends. This was the latchkey kind of generation where the parents worked and everybody, the kids came home and we just kind of lived the way we wanted to live, you know? And so I grew up in that heavy metal generation. All of my friends, I was just heavily influenced by my friends. I followed the great philosophers, Metallica and AC/DC and Judas Priest. And they all encouraged me to live without restraint. right? And they encouraged me to do whatever feels good. And it was just sort of the cry of that generation was, you can live free. And you can, it was that freedom cry. If you just live on impulse and you do what feels good, you're going to live a fun and exciting life. And it was true, y'all, on the front end, right? It was true on the front end, but not on the back end. And that's the trick of sin, isn't it? It's the scheme. But here's the thing. I thought I was free, and I didn't realize I didn't realize sin was running a game on me. And the enemy was running a game on me, and I didn't have the awareness or the know-how. Listen to me, I didn't have the truth to combat the lies that were being sent my way. I didn't have a good foundation. I didn't have a good footing. I didn't know where I was heading. I didn't know where I came from. I didn't know why I was here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so because I didn't know where I came from, why I was here, or where I was heading, I had all kinds of people speaking into my life and telling me that this is the good life. And so they sold me on this idea when I lived in that time. But what I didn't realize, that with all of the fun and the excitement, and again, it was fun and exciting. This is the trick of sin. With all of the fun and the exciting, I was also not just inviting in the fun, but I was inviting in a thief and a liar into my life. And so then the liar and the thief came in and began to steal some of the most valuable, most important things in my life, which were hope, joy, contentment in life, my identity, right? My self-image. And so began to steal the most, I gave up the most valuable things for a cheap thrill. And I did that for years. So we have to realize that sin, it's a two-sided coin, right? There's the good time part of sin, and then there's the lie and destruction part of sin. And so when you engage sin, you're not just engaging the good times. Did y'all know this? Okay? Do y'all know this? You know, you're not just engaging the good times. One doesn't come without the other. And so when you engage sin, remember, all right, it tastes really sweet, but it's a poison. Because there's another side to this, and you can't be tricked and fooled. And listen, I was so far from the truth that just about any kind of sin would grab me by its hook and pull me right in. And you don't want to be like that. You don't want to live that way. So every time we engage in sin, we always get both sides. Always get both sides. One doesn't come without the other. And so the freedom Paul had preached in the churches of Galatia was under threat. And here's what was happening. These false teachers had moved in, and it was kind of like the lie that had moved into my life, you know? When I was off track and I was having that good time, I also invited in the lie. Well, they allowed these false teachers to come into the church, and here's the reason why. And I kind, you kind of feel bad for the people in Galatia and in these churches because they're new believers, y'all. They're new believers, and they're just trying to understand. And so Paul sets things straight. He brings the gospel. He speaks the truth of Jesus, that it's only through Christ we are set free. So he speaks that truth, but then behind Paul comes these thieves and robbers, these liars. So they came in and they begin to sow lies into the churches, and that's what was happening. And so here was the problem with the churches. Again, it's our problem too, right? If you're not grounded in truth, it's really, really easy to fall for a lie and to head down the wrong road. And so, in fact, that's how Paul was helping them. He was helping them find their way to freedom. That's what this book is about. That's what Galatians is about, is he's helping them to ground themselves in the truth of Christ. At chapter one, he establishes his authority in the church. Then he begins speaking truth from that point on. And he says, look, I have an authority in this church. God put me here. Man didn't put me here. That's chapter one. And then he begins to pour out this truth. And he says in chapter 5, verse 7, he says this, who hindered you from obeying the truth? See, he's identifying. He's identifying the problem. Somebody, somehow, is hindering these people from the truth. Who? And it was these false teachers. And so here's what they were saying. They came in and they said, hey, listen, you can believe in Jesus, but you have to come under the law. And that was a lie. And that was a detrimental lie. It was a catastrophic lie. It went against everything that Jesus represented. And so Paul says this, look at chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to make our way through the chapter. And he says this, Paul says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't put yourself in chains again, in other words, right? Don't buy into this lie. And so there's three things that God's aiming to teach us in this passage. Number one, freedom is not law living. It's not legalism, right? That's number one. Number two, freedom is not loose living. It's not a license to sin, right? That's number two. Number three is freedom is this. It's the gift of life that God gives to us. Freedom is the gift of life that God gives to us. And so let's talk about this. We have to understand, before Jesus died on the cross, God's people lived under a detailed system of laws. We talked about this for the last couple weeks, but let me just kind of recap on this, okay? So the law was like a moral compass to guide God's people and guide their lives. But it was powerless to save them and to free them. It was powerless to bring salvation. It was powerless to bring freedom. It was impossible to hold the standard. It was so perfect. And so think about God's law. God's law represents his holiness, his perfection, right? And guess what? You're not perfect. And so how do we keep God's law? Well, God presented this law to show us something. What did he show? What is he showing us? He's showing us how holy he is. And how imperfect we are. And listen, he's showing us our great need for a Savior. Amen? This is what he's doing with the law in the Old Testament. So never make the law your way of getting salvation. It was never intended for that. It was never intended for that. And so Paul says the law was a guardian, right? We talked about this. The law is a guardian. The King James Version says the law of God is a schoolmaster. It's a teacher, it's a tutor. And that's what it was intended to do, is to teach and tutor us. And he says in Galatians 3:21, the law was not intended to give life. That's not the intent of the law. That's the intention of Christ, is to give us life, not the law. So he says here in verse 1, law living is a yoke of slavery. It's a yoke of slavery. Look what he says. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't get back under the law. He says, stand firm and do not submit again to this. And be gritty, right? Have some grit. And then he gets really specific. Look at verse 2. He says this, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. See, circumcision was a mark that would identify God's people in the Old Testament with Abraham, right? And so it was a mark of God's people. And it was it showed that that person was under the law, right? And so Paul says here, if you take this road, if you take this mark and center your life on the law, Christ will be of no advantage to you if you think that's your route, if you think that's the route to go. Why does he say that? Because remember, God's aim has always been relationship built on faith, not a cold religion built on works of the law. And so look at verse 3. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision, who comes back under the law, that he is obligated to keep the whole law. Uh-oh. So in other words, if you're going to live under the law, if you're going to go back under the law, just know you have to keep all of it. So he reiterates this, and he's been saying this all along to them. He's like, you are obligated to keep the whole thing perfectly. See, James warns us about this in James chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it. That's how holy God is. It's a standard we cannot keep. Only Christ was able to keep that standard. And so there is zero room for error under the law. Always keep that in mind. And remember, in chapter 3, he called it a curse. It wasn't, here's the thing, it is holy, right? It's from God. It represents God, his God's character, his holiness, okay? But to us as sinful people, it is a curse. In Romans chapter 8, Paul calls it the law of sin and death. So he's telling these people, don't come back under the law of sin and death. Imagine that being your gospel message, right? Come to Jesus, and you'll be under the law of sin and death, all right? So this was he's like, it wasn't making any sense to Paul. He thought he had established this, and he thought that they knew this. Look at verse 4. He says this, if you take this path, verse 4, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. And the Greek word for severed is separated. You're separated from God. You're separated from Christ. If you choose to be justified by the law, you are like the rest of the world, closed off to God, separated from Christ. So freedom is not law living. I think we've got this established. Now skip down to verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 13. He says this. He tells us that freedom is not loose living. It's not a license to sin. Look what he says in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so here he's warning us, freedom is not loose living. It's not an opportunity for the flesh. God is not a permissible God. He doesn't say, come into this relationship and just do whatever you want. And I like to look at it this way. God has healthy boundaries for us. And inside of his healthy boundaries is true freedom, right? But if you come in thinking that there are no boundaries and you just kind of can get back to your old way, you are off the path. You're off the path. This is not what God's calling us to. So some think that freedom in Christ, it just means that now that I'm a Christian, I can just sort of live my life that my way. And so this is one of the reasons we talk so much about lordship here, right? Jesus is Lord and Savior. He's above all things. And we come under his lordship. We come under him as Lord. So he speaks into our lives. And we're not influenced by other things in this world. We're under his great influence and leadership. And when we operate that way, we are in the greatest of health spiritually and in our lives. But we come outside of that, and we come out from under his lordship, and we start living loosely, right? Just like we start living in our own, with our own plans and things. We're getting outside of the boundaries that God has for us. And look, I like to say this. The life that you've always wanted is not a life that you can achieve without him. And so the place that you want to be is at the center of his will under his lordship so he can take you there. But listen, otherwise you're out from his lordship. You're living life on your own and you're assuming a lot of things. And listen, when you assume a lot of things, just know that there's a lot of lies that you have believed. You have a lot of presuppositions, a lot of things that you have believed in the past that you think you can use to navigate this life. God says, come to me, empty out, and let me fill you up. This is God's plan for us. And so if this license to sin, if you've approached God this way, and look, I'm now covered, I've come to salvation, now I can just get back to the life that I want to live. You don't want to live like that. This is what Paul says: I have been crucified with Christ. I've died to that old life. It's no longer I who live. He just said this in the previous chapter, two chapters ago. The life I now live, I live by faith in the one who gave, how did he put it? I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is the life I now live. I live by faith. I trust him. I trust that his way is best. This is the pathway to freedom. And so living your way always leads to living a lie, y'all. It always leads to living a lie. And this is why we have to stay so closely connected with him. Living in God's power and our devotion, staying walking with him, staying so closely connected. And the closer we get, the more we get closer to the truth. It's just the way it is. And so freedom is not law living. Freedom is not loose living. Freedom is the gift of life that comes from God. Look at verse 4. Actually, it's like the second part of verse 4. He tells these people, you have fallen away from grace. Let me just say this. You don't want to fall away from grace. Here's your two options: under law, under grace. You're either in sin under law, or you're in Christ under grace. I'm going to say that again. That was a good one. You're either in sin under law, or you're in Christ under grace. Those are your options. And so Paul is saying to them, you don't want to come and fall away. And he's noticing, if you miss this message, if you miss this part, you've missed the whole thing. And Paul doesn't even know if they have salvation, because if they've missed this and they haven't stood up for this, they must not even be saved. And so he says this. He says that they have fallen from grace. They've fallen away from the message of grace, y'all. From the message of grace. See, freedom is found under grace. Freedom is only found under grace. So what is grace? Well, grace is God's unmerited favor. That means his unearned favor. And so you don't work really hard because you're just going to be on a treadmill trying to earn God's favor, and you can't do it. That's why it's unearned favor. And it comes by way of you trusting Christ as Lord and Savior, and then you enter into God's favor under grace. Does that make sense? So you're stepping now into God's favor under grace. You haven't earned it. And so now you're living in God's favor under grace, and you're living in a place of freedom. And you don't want to get out of that. You don't want to come out from under that. Because the other option under the law is this: God's law, it condemns the guilty. And guess what? We're all guilty. And so under the law, remember, let me give you the two examples we gave a couple weeks ago. The law is like an X-ray. It doesn't heal your broken bones, right? It doesn't heal your brokenness. It just shows you the brokenness. The law is like a mirror. It doesn't clean you up. It just shows you how dirty you are. It just shows you the sin. That's what its intent was to be. Only Christ, under grace, right, can heal you and set you free. Only him. And so you can't understand what it means to have a relationship with God without understanding his grace. His grace should overwhelm you and draw you closer to him. It is unmerited. It is given to you through, you have been saved by grace through faith. Not in works, not in anything that you have done, so that no man can boast, Scripture says. So look what happens to sin's control of you when you operate under grace. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, you can turn there if you want, but this is what it says. It says, "For sin will have no dominion," right? No control, no dominion, no power over you, "since you are not under law, but under grace." This is why it's so important to be in Christ and under grace, because you can live in freedom and sin will have no dominion over you. But under law, sin will have dominion over you, because the law will just be telling you and saying, "You're not good enough, you're not good enough. This is the standard, this is God's holiness. You can't measure up, and you can try really hard, or you can just give up," right? But no matter what, you'll be under that law. Whether you utterly reject God or you think that your way to God is through the law, you're still in sin under the law. But in Christ, when you trust Christ, you come out from the dominion and the power of sin, and now you're under grace. And it is a wonderful thing. It's a place that you want to be, and it's a place that you've always longed to be, is under the gracious care of your Father, your Heavenly Father. Verse 5, and so we now move in to, so now we're under grace. Look what he says in verse 5. "For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness." Now what he's doing is he's talking about how a true believer operates and functions. They operate under grace, right? Through the Spirit, by faith. Through the Spirit, by faith. Notice that Spirit there is capital S. And this is where the spiritual work happens in your life. And so when I stepped into this Christian life and I tried to sort of step in and kind of do things my way, instead of learning and growing and getting close, I just started to kind of try to figure it out my way and do it my way. And I didn't understand this spiritual aspect. You do not want to miss the spiritual aspect, that it is through the work of the Spirit inside of you. And I can't explain it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be able to give you all the analogies that you probably are dying for, right? It's a work of God, and it's supernatural. It's a supernatural work inside of you. And if you trust his word, okay, may God's word be true, y'all. If you trust his word, when you've trusted Christ as Lord and Savior, his Spirit is inside of you, and through his Spirit, by faith, by your faith, you're bringing these two together. It's God's power and your devotion, your faith devotion. And that's what makes you gritty, and that is what helps you to overcome the lies. That's what helps you to overcome the world, right? This is the grit that you need to help you live the life of an overcomer, as Scripture says. And so through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves, it says, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. We eagerly wait for it. We have faith. We trust in the hope of righteousness. Verse 6, "For in Christ," remember, you're in Christ under grace. "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything." What he's saying is, yeah, you can get circumcised if you want, right? Or not, whatever you want to do, it accounts for nothing as it relates to your salvation and your relationship with God. It accounts for nothing. You can do that, but don't think that that's the pathway to God's heart. It is not. That is not the road to freedom. And so we operate through the Spirit by faith. We need God's power at work. This is a cooperation. And in Christ, the law living doesn't gain you points is kind of what he's saying. Look at verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. None of that accounts for anything. Law living accounts for nothing. You're on a treadmill and you're not even going an inch. You're doing all that work and you're not making it an inch. Why? It's because of the work, the person and works of Jesus Christ. We put it all on him. And we put all of our faith trusting that he did all of the work necessary. And so look what he says. He says, faith working through love. You know, love is the greatest commandment, right? And so Paul makes sure he mentions that. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart. The next is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? So you're loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself. Those are the greatest commandments, and that's what he really wants us to focus on. And so what he's saying is faith working through love is what God is looking for. And so look at verse 14, chapter 5, verse 14. He mentions this. For the whole law, he's going back and he's looking at the Old Testament. This is the ceremonial laws, the judicial laws, the moral laws, like the Ten Commandments. He goes, look, batch all of that together. The whole law is fulfilled in one word, love. Love your neighbor as yourself, he says. So here's what freedom looks like. Let's look at the screen here. So freedom is when we live in Christ under grace, we're operating through the Spirit by faith, trusting him, trusting the work of his Spirit. And through it comes love, right? And that's how, this is how we live. But under the law, we are in sin under the law, and we operate in the flesh, and we try to do things our way. And usually the people who are Christians who are frustrated are the people who try to do everything their way. They're trying to do everything their way, and they're operating in the flesh. That is our sin nature, and it's a lie, and it just feeds the lie. So you align yourself with the Holy Spirit. You live by faith, and you keep the law of love. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? But I want to go back to one of the things that he says, because he talks about truth. And truth is a big deal. And this is one of the things that when we have our Living Free seminar, which we're planning to do this right after Easter. This is on Wednesday nights, and so if you'll want to come and be a part of it, there's so much to talk about with freedom. I could spend seriously days on this. So, but here's a few things, and we use this passage in that seminar to talk about it. So there are a lot of people who come to know Christ, and they may be saved, okay? But there are very few people who come to Christ, they're saved, they're healed from the effects of sin in their past, and they're living in freedom. There are very few that are doing that. And why is that? It's because they don't know how this, they haven't fully engaged how this works with God. Here's how it works with God. If you want to experience freedom, you have to get closely, intimately acquainted with his truth. Because if it's the lie that binds you, it's the truth that sets you free. And Jesus says this, if you truly are my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, right? That's John chapter 8. So truth is a big deal. The next thing that's a big deal is the Holy Spirit. We talked about that again, that today, okay? So the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, right? This is God, one God represented in three persons. The Holy Spirit is God in us, operating and functioning in us, empowering us to live the impossible life right? And so the scripture says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You don't want to reject the Spirit on your way to freedom. You'll never find it. You have to acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. I know you don't know what that means. He will show you. God will show you, okay? But your objective is to get really close to him, get close to his truth, and begin to ask God, work on me through your Holy Spirit. God, show me by your Holy Spirit. Empower me by your Spirit. So the truth sets you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The next one is love. Why love? Well, we mentioned this today. It's because perfect love casts out all fear. Right? But catch this. Where does perfect love come from? Yeah. What causes people to get bound and it causes people to get so frustrated with life? It's all of the fears of life. You have one fear, one healthy fear, and that's the fear of God. When you fear God, you won't fear anything else, right? When you fear people, you fear everything. Focus on your healthy reverence and holy fear of God. And what happens is he begins to correct things and you begin to live for his glory and you don't care about the words and the offenses of people anymore. And then you can have healthier relationships. And you can operate and function in freedom and live in the joy and the hope, even when life comes crushing in. Let me say this last thing. I've got 10 pages left, y'all. I got 10 pages, baby. 10 pages. Every single thing that has prevented you from having access to God has been lifted when you come to Christ. Every single thing that has prevented you from having access to God has been lifted when you come to Christ. Now you are in Christ. You're under grace, right? That means you can blow it, and God's not over your head with a hammer, okay? Listen, under the law, you are condemned because you're found guilty, and your only sentencing is condemnation in hell under the law. But under Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Scripture says. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And so your greatest place of freedom is under the grace of God, is living under. Don't go back to law living. And look, in a room this size, I'm not going to guess how many people, but I will tell you it's a lot of people who are still orienting themselves towards works-based religion. And it's dead. And you know it, but you don't know how to get out of it. This is how you get out of it. Amen? Okay. Enough. Let me pray. Father, I pray for every family here today to find freedom in Christ, that they know how much they're loved in this place. They know how much they're loved by you. And your word says, perfect love casts out all fear. We find hope in Christ alone. This world is empty. There are so many lies that that tangle up our heart, and only you can untie it. And so we surrender our lives to you, and I pray for that person that needs salvation, Father. They need the hope of Christ. I pray for them that today will be the day that they reach out and find you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.